Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Talk a little football. Ian Rappaport does a great job. NFL Network Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Rapsheet. And he's also the host of Rapsheet and Friends podcast. Ian, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Hi, Ian. How are you?
What's going on? How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Doing okay.
Just a normal day, you
yeah,
know?
Just another day.
In our homes, trying to entertain people. You know, just a run-of-the-mill Tuesday, man.
I would just prefer everything be back to normal, but that's extremely selfish, and many more people have many worse problems, so I probably should shut up, but yes.
Yes.
Go ahead, you go, bro.
The first thing I was going to ask was, I listened a little bit to Tom Brady's conference call, and it felt like he was going out of his way to not say anything bad about the New England Patriots. What was your biggest takeaway of Tom meeting the media or talking to the media earlier today?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I figured. And I listened to a little bit. I've heard it before. I've been listening to Tom Brady for a very long time. I didn't expect him to go out and say, like, hey, I felt disrespected. You know, where was my offer? I really think that by the time his conversation with Robert Kraft ended on Sunday night, that both sides kind of made their peace with this basically just ended. Like, I think it's really just like a relationship that ended. And I know those in the Boston media spent a lot of time assigning blame and seeing who has an agenda and sort of picking fights with one another, it seems. But to me, this is like a marriage that just ended. Like, whose fault is it? I don't know. It's everyone's fault. I think it was just time. And I don't, you know, I think Brady probably gets that. He's known for a long time that it was going to end and probably wasn't going to end well. They didn't have to cut him, which was, I think, nice. In his mind, he thought he would probably eventually be cut by the Patriots, so this was better. I think it just kind of ended.
And what do you think about the Bucs going into the season? I mean, what do you think? You look at them as a legitimate playoff team at the very least? How about that?
I mean, I think if they had a quarterback who didn't turn the ball over as much as Jameis, they probably would have been a playoff team last year. I mean, I was talking to, as all this was kind of breaking, I got a call from a head coach I respect. This was probably on Tuesday night when we all knew he was going to Tampa. It wasn't official, but we all kind of knew it. And the response that this head coach said was, this head coach gave was, Tampa was already one of the best teams in the NFL last year at the end, if only they would just not turn the ball over. So now they got a quarterback who's not going to turn the ball over. They should be a lot better. You still need to protect. The only real question I have, well, I would say two questions. One is, there were teams that, scouted Brady, watched his film, and thought he was going the wrong way, like the Raiders, for instance, just didn't think it was going to be good enough. So that's my question is, like, what does he come back and look like? And then the other thing is, it's taken for most players under Bruce Arians, Carson Palmer, Jameis Winston, it's taken about half a season to figure out what he's trying to do. Will it take Brady that long? And are we looking at like a, uneven start where everyone spends the first half of the year wondering when's Tom Brady going to get it?
Do the Bucs view him as, we got him for 2 years? I mean, even though his age says, this guy could lose it at any moment. I mean, because he's already in uncharted territory in terms of the level he's playing at and the age that he's at. But he did sign a 2-year deal. Do they kind of view Tom Brady as, we got him for 2 years at that level that they expect?
I mean, they better. You know, if they guaranteed 2 years fully. Now, the other part of it is, like, you know, let's say this year doesn't go well. He looks bad. He's not feeling it. He can always retire and give up the guaranteed money. Like, I don't, you know, he's got a lot of money. I don't think he'll say, all right, I'm retiring. Let me keep my $25 million. Like, I don't, you know, I see that as sort of far-fetched. So I think if, you know, if he is Joe Namath with the Rams or, you know, Emmett Smith with the Cardinals or whatever, my guess is he probably retires, gives back the money, and that's that.
Hmm. You know, I want to ask you, talking to Ian Rappaport, I want to ask you about the new CBA and the changes we're going to see. I mean, I guess already they're talking about this year, I guess we'll have the extra playoff teams, and then next year, the 21 season, we'll have the 17-game schedule. What's your overall thoughts on that?
You know, it feels like the 17-game schedule won't be in the immediate future. I mean, it sort of depends on, you know, it depends on the TV contracts. When do they kind of make
so,
it?
So let me just stop for a second. So it's not definite that the 2021 season is going to be 17 games?
It's not definite.
Okay.
It's not. And that's one interesting thing with the CBA is it's still left things kind of up in the air. You know, still really depends on the TV contracts and what money is there and, you know, when the NFL and the NFLPA basically activate it. So there's still, I mean, even with all the discussions, the CBA getting done and all that, I mean, there's still, we also don't know when they're going to cut from 4 to 3 preseason games. It's not going to be this year,
right?
But it could be next year. We just don't know for sure.
We're talking to Ian Rappaport. All right, Trent Williams' situation. We've seen Washington deal Quentin Dunbar. They got a fifth-round pick for him. I think we've all been waiting for Trent Williams to eventually be traded somewhere and then get a new contract. His agent releases this statement either last night or this morning. I'm losing track of time. Where do things stand right now with Trent Williams? What are they asking for, and when is this thing going to get done?
You know, they're not – I don't think the Redskins are being crazy. Honestly, like, it's – you know, really, they're being pretty rational. I know they're asking for a second-round pick early. Obviously, they're not going to get that. They're willing to come off that. It's just, is a team going to give Trent Williams $15 million on an extension and then give, like, a second-round pick or a third-round pick? I mean, that's the problem. He didn't play football at all last year, so he's going to get a big salary and a draft pick. Like, that's a lot, and I think for the Redskins, they'd like to get something real for him. You know, so they're sort of in a little bit of a stalemate. I think it should get done somewhere. I just don't know exactly when because, you know, his agent releasing that statement, like, I don't get the sense the Redskins saw that statement today and were like, man, this is great. Life is good. It's really just, you know, that kind of inflamed things. And it was, just to be frank, like, kind of a bizarre thing to do when you have a team that's working with you trying to get a deal done.
Are you hearing anything in regards to the Jets? Is it realistic that Trent Williams could be a landing spot with the Jets?
I haven't heard the Jets in on that, really. He didn't play football last year. You know, that's a tough evaluation. Plus, you're going to give him a lot of money. And I don't think the Jets have as much money to spend as everyone thinks because so much of their big free agent spendings from last year crushed them this year, which is why you saw them kind of wade into the middle of the pool, not really the deep end.
Mm. You know, let's talk about the Jets for a second because I'm actually pretty, as a Jet fan for 150 years now, I am pretty happy with what Joe Douglas has done, and one of the things I'm happiest about is all the guys that I thought were key players on the team last year that they brought back. I mean, they just brought back James Burgess, they brought Jenkins back, they brought Poole back,
right.
They brought Alex Lewis back, you know, all these, Neville Hewitt, all these different guys. What about Robbie Anderson? Because I want to see Robbie Anderson back. Obviously, the market for him that he thought anyway was going to be there has not been there. How about that, Ian?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been there for any of the receivers. I mean, Nelson Aguilar, you know, from what I understand, had a big offer on the table from the Eagles a couple years back and signed for basically the minimum of the signing bonus. You know, no receivers have gotten any of the money they thought. So I think for Robbie Anderson, he's looking at, you know, potentially a 1 year deal somewhere. And, you know, trying to make it happen next year with a better market. The you know, how many receivers there are in the draft has killed
right,
the market
right.
because the draft is so good. So it's
yep.
like, would I spend $5 million for Philip Dorsett, who probably signed for the minimum in Seattle, or would I wait for the draft? You know, usually I would say you end up waiting for the draft, which is what a lot of teams are doing.
What's your evaluation on how the Giants have done so far here in free agency?
I think the Giants have done well. Getting Bradbury done was big. They filled some holes. They got Leonard Williams back. You know, we'll see what he ends up being, but the talent is really, really good. I think the coaching staff is kind of looking forward to working with him. It wasn't splashy, but they got a lot of guys with a lot of familiarity, guys like Blake Martinez who played for Patrick Graham in Green Bay. I mean, it's never going to be like spend all the money in the world, especially with a guy from a Patriots background. But I like what they did. I'll say that. Mm.
Who is Bill Belichick's quarterback this year, Ian?
I would say there's a shot it's Brian Hoyer, which I know is crazy, but
that is crazy.
Familiarity.
I don't know even if Bill could win with Brian Hoyer. I don't even know if he could.
I would say
you played a single wing. Would they play like the single wing with Brian Hoyer?
No,
where he was like never, or the wishbone where he would never throw a pass. Then maybe
I
can
went
see
11. He went 11-5 with Matt Castle.
Matt Castle's better than Brian Hoyer. There's been very few quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, Ian, worse with Brian Hoyer. Worse than him.
Are we sure? I mean,
very few. Doug Johnson comes to mind. Very few.
Isn't Matt Castle and Brian Hoyer just the same? Aren't Matt Castle and Brian Hoyer just the same?
No, I don't see that at all.
One has great hair and one doesn't.
I don't see that. I'm not saying Castle's great, but I mean, Brian Hoyer? Really?
Well, the other thing I would say is, first of all, they also went 3-1 with, you know, Jacoby Brissett when he couldn't throw and two games worth of Jimmy Garoppolo. Right.
Right.
However, I have no idea what Jarrett Stidham is. And it is possible that he's really good. Possible he's average.
Right. Right.
Also
right.
Possible it's a miss. I have no earthly idea. And I think they like the attributes, they like the talent, but they don't know either. I also think they'll probably draft someone. So, you know, it's gonna be the ultimate test of Bill Belichick's system. They also have $20 million of dead money. Usually that feels like rebuilding year. So can the Patriots go 9-7 in a rebuilding year? I think possible, but it certainly is a test for them.
If he goes 9-7 with Brian Hoyer and he starts all 16 games, that is the greatest coaching job anybody ever did. Let me say that. Anybody.
Now look, the same Brian Hoyer led the Browns to like a 9-4 start. Where were they? 7-4 start or something. He's not terrible. This system, Brian Hoyer, I think, would be okay. That said, it still could be. The one thing we know is the Patriots don't have any money, so they're not going to go out and spend a lot for a quarterback or spend a lot for anything like a lot of people were expecting.
You talk about the quarterbacks, and it's so bizarre because you've got three guys who I think are capable of starting in this league, clearly, in Cam Newton, Jameis Winston, and Andy Dalton. And I wonder if any of them are going to find homes where they start, because it seems like a lot of teams feel content with what they have at the quarterback position. How do you think it kind of unfolds for those three guys now that Cam is in free agency because it looks like the Panthers are releasing him?
Yeah, I mean, the release could come today. It hasn't happened yet, but it should come fairly soon. I'm really interested to see how they release him. Do they release him healthy, or do they release him with failed physical? It's going to be interesting as far as his status. I mean, either way, a team with signs is going to have to give him a physical anyway. You know, from what I was told, he wasn't going to be game ready on his foot until probably May or June. So that could be a while. I mean, here's the thing. For Jameis, for Cam, for Andy Dalton, I don't see a starting spot for any of them. So are they okay being a backup?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is Cam Newton going to go in and back up Matt Ryan or something? I really don't know. My best, you know, if I were them, I might say, just hang. Just wait. Something will happen. Something will happen. If you don't want to be a backup, you don't want to lock yourself in, don't. Cam Newton's made $100 million. He doesn't need the money. He's got that cigar bar in Atlanta, which I hear is really nice. I like cigars. Just go hang there, and if a team needs you, they'll come get you.
Interesting.
Ian, we know you got to go.
Oh, he's got to run? Okay.
Yeah, we appreciate you giving us time. Stay safe, and it's good to talk football with you, man. And hopefully we'll talk Mets baseball soon enough.
Mm. God willing, we can talk about the Mets at some point soon. Yes.
That's right.
I need it, guys. I need it.
So do we all.
Take
we
care,
all
man.
Do.
Good talking all to right, you, man.
Thanks, man.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!